Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yiridimarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 6th of March. Coming up on today's show, NITV Radio chats to Adam Byrne, one of the owners of Bush to Bowl, which was created as a healing space and platform for First Nations people by connecting them to country and traditional food ways. We also explore a new survey which has exposed a lack of awareness of shingles amongst older Australians. And we share some stories from our NITV news team. All these stories and more coming up after the latest news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, the Australian Human Rights Commission has announced the appointment of a new Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner. 16 US states heading to the polls for Super Tuesday, and Sam Kerr's legal team fighting to have the criminal charges against her dropped. Gurindji traditional owners have met at the heritage-listed Wave Hill walk-off site, the birthplace of Australia's modern land rights movement. The Northern Territory government recently said it would take legal action over alleged damage to a historic windmill fence and interpretation markers at the site. Traditional owners say they want the damage fixed. They say they also want to work with the station's owners to manage the site.
If we got done everything good now and we can maybe make agreement that we can be a partnership.
We take the little ones, like in August every year, we take them out to the station and tell stories, you know, like the histories for the next one to the next generation, just going to listen to the stories.
The Australian Human Rights Commission has announced the appointment of a new Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner. Kurundju and Biriwidji woman Katie Kiss will take on the role. The role is responsible for promoting the human rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and providing information to the government on matters relating to the rights of Indigenous people. Ms. Kiss is currently the Executive Director of the Interim Truth and Treaty Body, supporting Queensland's path to treaty, and brings extensive experience in public policy and human rights law. She says she's grateful for the opportunity.
It's been a big day. I'm very honoured and humbled to be asked to take on this very important role for our people. And, you know, it's been a big journey for me, but I feel like it's a legacy that my old people have left, and it's a big responsibility to take on.
Katie Kiss will commence her term next month, taking over from the outgoing Commissioner June Oscar, who has been in the role since 2017. Over a dozen US states will vote in their presidential primaries today to nominate their party candidates ahead of this year's presidential election. 16 states are heading to the polls for what's known as Super Tuesday, the biggest day of presidential primaries in the US, and over one-third of all available delegates from both the Republican and Democratic Party at stake today. President Joe Biden remains the leading contender in the Democratic primaries, and former President Donald Trump leads the Republican race. One Democratic voter in Tennessee, researcher Mary Alice Keller, says she's voted for Republican candidate Nikki Haley because she wanted to counter Trump's success.
I voted for Nikki Haley. I'm a Democrat, but I felt like my vote would be best used there. I have a lot of problems with President Trump, and so I wanted to vote for someone that, well, Nikki Haley was the only choice on the ballot that wasn't him. So, in the general, I'll definitely vote Democratic. Tennessee has an open primary, so we have the benefit of being able to switch.
Police in New South Wales are investigating a potential hit-and-run incident after finding the body of a man in a suburban street in Sydney's southwest. Emergency services were called to an intersection in Mount Pritchard at about 3 a.m. on Wednesday after reports of a man in the street with serious injuries. Paramedics attended the scene, but the man was declared dead. Officers have now established a crime scene and are investigating the surrounding circumstances. Police are urging anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers. New research from Greenpeace reveals an area the size of the Melbourne cricket ground was bulldozed every 2 minutes in Australia over a 5-year period. Greenpeace says that the study reveals the shocking scale of Australia's deforestation and the devastation it's causing to koala habitats. The data shows that between 2016 and 2021, a majority of the forest and bushland cleared was in Queensland, finding that 95% of the cleared area were of areas where threatened species were known to live. The study by Dr. Martin Taylor found that 90% of Queensland's deforestation was driven by land clearing for livestock pastures. Dr. Taylor says the koala is headed towards extinction and fears that deforestation will have grave consequences for the species. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says a suspected arson attack on Tesla factory in Germany was extremely dumb after it caused a power outage and halted production. Local media in the area published a letter reportedly from a far-left activist organisation called Volcano Group, claiming responsibility for the attack and criticising Tesla and its billionaire CEO Elon Musk. The arson is expected to cost the company hundreds of millions of euros and will halt production at the factory until at least early next week. The chairwoman of the Tesla Work Council, Michaela Smits, says employees are proud of the work they do at Tesla.
We only ever hear negative things in the press, and that doesn't do justice to what our employees have been doing here for 3 years. They are passionate about what they do. They are proud to work at Tesla. You can see what has been achieved here in 2 or 3 years, including the Work Council and many other teams, who give their best here every day from morning to night. And they are proud of that, and that this criticism and this attack is taking on such a dimension today. As I said, we condemn it in the strongest possible terms.
Sam Kerr's legal team are fighting to have the criminal charges against her dropped. The Australian star striker and Matilda's captain is being accused of the racially aggravated harassment of a police officer in January last year. Kerr has not commented on the allegations, but court documents reveal her legal team will argue an abusive process by Crown prosecutors. Australian Senator Matt Canavan told the Today Show that hate speech laws in the UK have gone too far.
My prejudice here is against the UK law. I mean, just last week, the UK jailed somebody for 2 years for producing stickers. And some of those stickers were pretty offensive. But it doesn't seem to be a free country anymore in the UK, and I think it's very sad. But some of these hate speech laws over there just are absolutely ridiculous. And I just think we need to take a cup of cement and harden up here. And not every time someone is a bit distressed about what someone says, immediately go to the courts and try and jail people over it.
Ms. Kerr is due to face a 4-day trial in February 2025. Social media platforms owned by tech giant Meta were down for hundreds of thousands of users in a global outage that lasted over an hour. There were more than 300,000 reports of outages on Facebook and 40,000 reports for Instagram. The social media giant has about 3.19 billion daily active users across its apps, which also include WhatsApp and Threads. The White House has said it monitored the outage as it coincided with Super Tuesday, where millions of Americans are expected to vote in their presidential primaries. A senior U.S. cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency official said they are not aware of any malicious cyber activity linked to the outage. The town of Orange in central west New South Wales will run its first LGBTIQ plus Pride Festival. Local councillors have overwhelmingly voted against a motion to withdraw official support for the event, prompting cheers from the public gallery. The Rainbow Festival will now be held later this month. Organisers say it will include celebrations like a parade and drag competitions, with the aim to increase visibility and tolerance in the growing region. To AFL now, Tasmania's AFL team is set to launch its colours, logo and mascot later this month, but concerns over the tangling of football and politics have Premier Jeremy Rockcliffe concerned. The club's 19th league licence was granted in May, with the condition of state's construction of a 23,000-seat stadium on Hobart's waterfront. Lack of transparency over the deal was among the reasons Liberal John Tucker and Lara Alexander quit the Liberal Party in May, plunging the government into a minority and leading to the calling of an early election on March 23rd. Premier Jeremy Rockcliffe says he would prefer if the club's launch, which is currently scheduled for March 18th, was delayed to avoid further politicisation of the issue, but the club remains steadfast with the date. And St Kilda defender Jeremy Webster has received the longest AFL suspension in 6 years. He's been banned for 7 games after a bump on Jai Simpkin in a landmark case. In recent months, the AFL has increased efforts to protect players from concussion. And now for a look at today's weather. Broome, a shower or two and a possible storm, 33. Perth, sunny, 33. Adelaide, also sunny and 33. Melbourne, partly cloudy, 27. Hobart, mostly sunny, 26. Albury-Wodonga, partly cloudy, 34. Canberra, mostly sunny, 31. Wollongong, also mostly sunny, 28. Sydney, much the same, 29. Newcastle, sunny, 31. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 29. Townsville, showers, 31. Cairns, much the same, 31. Alice Springs, mostly sunny, 39. Darwin, a shower and possible storm, 31. And the Torres Strait Islands, much the same, 32. And that is NITV Radio News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Luana Grant, and you're listening to NITV Radio. Still to come on the show, NITV Radio chats to Adam Byrne, one of the owners of Bush to Bowl, which was created as a healing space and platform for First Nations people by connecting them to country and traditional food ways. And a new survey has exposed a lack of awareness of shingles amongst older Australians. But first, here are a few stories from our NITV news team. Mob living in South Australia will soon cast their vote to elect a state-based voice to Parliament, which will be the first of its kind in the country. So how will it work and what will be the benefit to communities? Reporter Peter Doherty has spoken to some of the candidates to find out.
Melissa Thompson says she's been in training to be a leader since she was a young girl. Her late father, land right activist Mr Thompson, signed the document that returned 10% of South Australia to the Yuggera people in the far northwest. It was an unprecedented achievement for self-determination. And 4 decades on, his daughter hopes to represent the Yuggera, Pitjantjatjara, Yuggera communities in another national first, South Australia's inaugural voice to Parliament.
My father was a person that was a role model for the people in the lands. Now that I am, as a daughter, willing to stand my authority to become a role model for my generation.
She hopes the voice will make communities strong again.
So that we can build and more services and more happiness, that we're rolling to make a better bridge, the fresh bridge that we can walk on.
She is one of 113 candidates declared earlier this week. The local voice will be made up of representatives from 6 regions. Regional divisions will elect 7 people, while the central region will elect 11. Each local region will choose a male and a female delegate to make up the state voice.
I think the whole country will be looking at this, and that's why it's so important for us to continue to go ahead and demonstrate to the rest of the country why this is so important.
The Voice will have a direct line to state parliament, cabinet and government agencies about policy and matters of concern to their communities. It will also establish committees to hear from young people, elders, the stolen generation and native title.
As we know what our community want, we know what our community needs, as each community is different, and we want to try and build healthier outcomes for our people.
Elections will be held every 2 years, with early polling set to open next week. Peter Doherty, NITV News.
A team of specialist doctors and Aboriginal health workers are about to embark on a life-saving quest in Central Australia. They're targeting arrhythmic heart disease, which has been eradicated across most of the country but continues to ravage First Nations communities.
These health specialists are on a mission.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And for the next few weeks, they'll visit 11 schools, like this one in Alice Springs, where they'll listen, educate, treat and provide critical early diagnoses for Aboriginal children who may be affected by rheumatic heart disease.
It's a dangerous disease because it causes damage to heart valves in children and young people.
It's the fourth time the team has been invited back to Alice Springs by the community. These deadly heart treks are crucial in trying to slow the spread of rheumatic heart disease.
So we have seen an increase in prevalence in the last 10 years. So unfortunately, despite the fact that this is a preventable disease, it's not abating in Aboriginal people, and particularly in the Northern Territory where we see the highest rates in the country.
The Central Australian Aboriginal Health Service Congress also lending its support.
I feel really privileged to be in this position, to work for Congress and be that cultural link between the screening here today and the clinic if we need that.
Community-led action to halt a preventable disease. Dan Rennie, NITV News.
Legendary Australian singer-songwriter Paul Kelly has paid a visit to inmates at a jail in remote Western Australia. The visit coming after Kelly heard a group of First Nations prisoners cover one of his best-known songs.
The band called East Sunrise has covered Paul Kelly's song How to Make Gravy. The lyrics are about a prisoner missing his family, something these men experience.
Just tell our stories to the young ones out there and families, important. Keta is a very big part in Aboriginal culture.
Performing for Paul Kelly in Pidginjarra and English.
I really loved it.
After admiring the band, Paul Kelly performed his song.
I'll be out here by July.
Asking one of the guitarists to join him.
You go to a special place when you play guitar, you know, music. It's like mentally, physically, and it helps with everything.
When you make music with someone, you make something that you couldn't do by yourself. So also music is a way of, it's a universal language. And when they, the good example is their recording of the song, there's a couple of different languages in there, but the feeling still comes across.
The prisoners want to keep performing.
We might start making new songs and keep building the bridges again, you know, start a new life.
I hope you're keeping well.
Sharing stories through song. Felicity Ogilvie, NITV News.
Marissa Williamson-Pullman will become the first female Indigenous boxer to represent Australia at an Olympics when she heads to Paris later this year. Having experienced homelessness from the age of 13, Marissa is using her rise to draw attention to the issue of First Nations children in out-of-home care.
At just 21 years old, proud Narrangeri woman Marissa Williamson-Pullman is on the precipice of history.
Oh, my God. I just, like, when you're a kid and when you see these Olympians on the TV, they just seem so far out of reach.
But for Marissa, it's her journey to the Olympics that should be the real inspiration.
As someone that went through the foster care system and had a lot of placements and someone who ended up homeless quite frequently, I didn't really think that I would probably achieve anything in my life. I just found refuge in boxing.
For the 21-year-old, this is all a part of what made her and makes her such an inspiration.
I've been in and out of homelessness since I was 13 years old.
It was a chance meeting with ex-army veteran and boxing coach Kel Bryant that changed the course of her life. He knew from the first time he saw the then teenager that what she had was something special.
It was her willingness to keep fighting even though she was getting beaten.
Walking into this gym was the best thing that I ever did. There was something about the way that he taught. Like, black fellas love stories, and from there, we've been attached at the hip ever since.
In just 5 years, Marissa has become the rising star in Australian amateur boxing, winning state and national titles, a Pacific Games gold, and now a ticket to the Olympics.
She said to me one day, she said, I really want a better life. And I said, well, you could find it through boxing. We have good days and bad days, but she shows up every day.
Bryant didn't just help Marissa in the ring. He introduced her to a family at the Collingwood Boxing Club, helped her find a safe place to live, and eventually a home to call her own.
I didn't have any discipline. I didn't really have any life skills because no one was really... I didn't really have a role model or someone who kind of stood by me the way that like a parent would.
As success leads the 21-year-old to a new chapter in her life, it also highlights the stark contrast in support for her now compared to when she was an Indigenous kid in care.
It only took one person to believe in me, and imagine if I had that from the start, like what I would have been capable of.
With the eyes of her country on her in Paris, Marissa knows how much rides on her success.
I think it might hit me like during the opening ceremony or when I'm about to get punched in the face in my first bout.
Yeah, when she walks out in that ring and delivers, win, lose or draw, I'll have a tear in my eye. I'll be covered in goosebumps.
And Kel might not be the only one with tears in his eyes.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. A new survey has exposed a lack of awareness of shingles amongst older Australians. The survey by GlaxoSmithKline has found many people think shingles isn't serious, but also that it won't happen to them. As this report states, that is far from the truth.
I just started getting blisters on my arm and the back of my neck, started just itching, very itchy. A couple of days after the blisters, I went to the doctor and, yeah, they diagnosed shingles.
That is Pamela, a woman who developed shingles in her late 50s. She shared her story with GlaxoSmithKline, who have launched a website called noshingles.com.au for Shingles Awareness Week. GSK says not enough people realise how vulnerable they are to the condition. Maxine was among them.
I knew nothing whatsoever about shingles other than, truly, it was for old people. I just didn't understand how damaging it is. And I thought, I'll make an appointment, they'll give me this miracle drug, and I'll be fixed. That wasn't the case.
Misconceptions about shingles appear to be widespread. A new study from GlaxoSmithKline has found the majority of people they surveyed don't know their risk of developing the condition or know how serious it can be. Professor Tony Cunningham is the director of the Centre for Virus Research at the University of Sydney. He says shingles is actually fairly common because so many people have had chickenpox as a child or young adults.
It's caused by the chickenpox virus, and then as people age, the virus re-emerges and causes an infection of the skin. The people who are at risk are those who are ageing, particularly those over the age of 50. About one in three people in their lifetime will develop shingles at some stage.
There's a vaccine for shingles called Shingrix, which normally costs $560 per immunisation. In 2023, Health Minister Mark Butler announced the vaccination would become free for certain groups like those aged over 65 or people who are immunocompromised.
We see the beginning of the most comprehensive shingles vaccine program for over 65-year-olds on the planet, sort of $800 million of investment there.
The minister says the rollout of vaccines is continuing this month, with hundreds of thousands of additional doses to be delivered between January and the end of June. Dr. Megan Campbell from the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation has told SBS News First Nations people have also been included in the vaccination program.
We know that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults are more likely to get shingles and more likely to get it at a younger age. And the new vaccine is safer and more effective than the last one that we had. And importantly, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people can get a free two-dose course from the age of 50.
Professor Cunningham says talking to your GP about shingles is highly recommended.
It's really important to be aware of the risk of shingles and discuss it with your local doctor and discuss it in your family, particularly with the ageing members of the family who may not be aware of the risk of shingles.
In the meantime, Pamela says her plans are on hold while she recovers from the condition.
I work 3 days a week, 3 hours it's like. I have to come home and sleep. And there's not much, especially with the paralysis of this arm, there's not much I can do. And it's devastating. And it's frustrating. And I was going to retire and then start travelling. But unfortunately, I'm sort of stuck here now because of shingles. Because of this pain, I just can't go anywhere at the moment.
Maxine is hopeful that by speaking out, awareness can be raised.
I wish I could tell everyone. I just want them to know, you know, how bad it is. I am so looking forward to getting back into my kitchen and creating masterpieces. Getting back into the garden, just enjoying going for a walk. Going for a walk in the sunshine would be amazing.
And that story was produced by Deborah Grok for SBS News. We'll be back after the break.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Bush to Bowl is a social enterprise aimed at creating a healing space and a platform for First Nations people by connecting them to country and traditional foodways. I recently caught up with Adam Byrne, one of the owners of Bush to Bowl. Adam speaks with NITV Radio about how the idea came about, as well as the range of cultural workshops and experiences they offer where community can engage with native plants and traditional Aboriginal knowledge and culture. Thanks so much for joining me for a chat on NITV Radio today about Bush to Bowl. Firstly, for the audience, if you just want to quickly introduce yourself and just a little bit of a background about where you're from.
My name's Adam Byrne, and I am one of the owners of a Bush to Bowl, aside with Clarence Brunsma. Clarence is a Yagle fella from the mid-north coast of New South Wales, and I'm a Garigal fella from on the Darubin River down in Brooklyn. My grandmother grew up, and I grew up on Darkindjung country on the central coast. Now currently on Kame country on the northern beaches.
Yeah, nice. And when did you first create Bush to Bowl, and where did the idea come from?
Probably about 3 years ago we started. Clarence and I were at a mob meetup here on the beaches, and I'm a landscaper by trade, and I was working for other people and realised how there was just not enough natives being planted in people's backyards, and some of those landscaping jobs kind of were really against sort of some of the cultural, cultural sort of views, with like spraying chemicals and obviously not regenerating the land that I was working on. So, Clarence and I had a yarn down at the meetup about kind of bringing that element towards some of the local gardens, and then we started yarning about foods, and then we sort of did our sort of research on food sovereignty and realising and soon finding out that there was only about 1% of blackfellas in the industry. So, yeah, and then we started in a school. But I think one of my biggest inspirations was when I went over to La Perouse and connected with the mob over there, the fam over there, and at Indigigo. I started buying a lot of plants off them to do in my landscaping jobs, and just so inspired by what they do and how they and about their community project, just hiring all the young fellas, you know, brothers and sisters over there, and really giving back to their community and staying in their community, and thinking about their community and their future. And that was something that Clarence and I really wanted to sort of bring over this side.
And you offer a range of like workshops from corporate to school groups and offering cultural experiences around the Narrabeen headlands. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we've got a couple of the files that go out. I guess that all started with the lack of over in this area and that need that people really wanted to learn more about the country over here. So we go out on country and just show people a bunch of the, you know, local endemic indigenous plants up on the headlands, and some of the foods and some of the things that need a bit of love and attention, you know, like things like invasive weeds and just making people aware of what work we need to do and also educate them on a bit more about the culture and how we approach our day-to-day lives on country.
And you also have a nursery that we actually visited NITV. We did one of your workshops, which was really, really interesting, and it was a really beautiful walk around Narrabeen headlands. And then we also went to the nursery to visit, which was really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you guys run it and, just a little bit about the nursery side of things?
Well, firstly, that day was the best.
It was.
with the NITV mob and the fam, we love all the mob over there. And it was just nice to kind of connect and create that kinship. And for, you know, having the privilege of all your mob to come over there, over our way on Gadigal country up there in Terry Hills, where we're located in an old 100-year-old shed. We were fortunate to sort of get in there temporarily in the next year or so, for the last year, probably be there for another year. And yeah, it's a space on Monavale Road there. And we just wanted to create a central space that our mob can come to and feel safe in and connect with. And it's also open for any mob that want to come in and connect and create that kinship, but also we've got, we're propagating local endemic plants, like local indigenous plants, and we're also doing bush food. So we've got AJ, Anthony Freeman and Clarence Brunsbar and a couple of the other fellows and some of the young ones, you know, producing some foods that go into restaurants into the cities, local cafes and bakeries, all that sort of stuff. It's also open to the public to come in, and if they want to experiment in their own kitchen, they come and buy some produce off us. So, yeah, it's a nice space. I'd love to be in there every day, but, we also go out into community a lot.
Yeah, it was really nice to go and visit. Yeah, the nursery was really cool, and we got to try some of the produce as well, which was really cool. And you also offer like landscaping services, and as you mentioned, that was what you were doing before this. What does that entail, and how is that, what is that service about?
It's just taking care of country and just that regeneration and learning, you know, like we do a bunch of schools, cultural gardens or just learning gardens in schools. We also do projects. Recently did a project with Millie Millie up at Freshwater Headlands. It's just about regenerating country and teaching people about the importance of it. And in some cases in schools, we just try and teach through the plants. And try and get those kids connected to country. They already are when they're young, but just keep that connection going throughout their lives. And we feel as though that, you know, education is a really powerful thing. That's one thing our team in the future we're going to be educating a bunch of our young mob in regeneration and land conservation and propagation of like species like in the Cumberland Plains woodlands and all different ecologies throughout the Sydney areas, so we can get mob on country and learn more about, you know, relearn some of the things about culture that we've lost in those years and get them out there connected.
And finally, do you have any future plans to expand on the work you guys are doing at Bush to Bowl and any kind of ideas that you've got for the future or anything that you want to work on?
That's a good question. For me, it's not, and Clarence, it's not about expanding. It's about kind of continuing that inspiration to other mob to do that in their community. But just like as I did, how I went over to Lapa and went and saw the mob over at Indigigrow and Uncle Pete and beautiful aunt used to work there, Mary Mumbla. And it's about us getting inspired by them and then taking it over here and starting our thing and then mentoring or helping another mob to go do it in their community. So we kind of, like, for instance, we're working with Kumadichi down near the mission down in Kumadichi in Port Kembla. They've got a beautiful gallery down there and we love the mob down there. And they've got a nursery set up down there on the back of the on the lakes there. And now we're going to help them build their nursery and create their own space in Port Kembla. So I feel like it's just about thinking locally and thinking about your community and hopefully inspiring other communities to bring that to their space and then getting more mob into like that whole connection to country and connected to, you know, that food sovereignty and connected to those plants that have been a part of the story for thousands of years.
And where can people go to find out more about Bush to Bowl, and if they want to get in contact with you guys to do some workshops, where can they go to get more info?
Just bushtobowl.com, or you can go on all the social media stuff like Instagram and Facebook, and or just reach out and email us, or even better, just call into the nursery if you are in the local area, and just come and connect, and there's always a friendly face there, and it's a pretty nice safe space that people can come and just meet other like-minded people.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for chatting to me on NITV Radio today about Bush to Bowl. And, like I said, NITV did go and visit and it was really awesome and we had a really great day. So thanks so much for showing us around, and also thanks so much for chatting to me today.
Oh, thank you. And thanks. Big love to all the NITV mob and their support. Like, we're big fans as well.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.